Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
So I've been, this year, kind of been on a journey with God where I was challenged by God Himself saying that there's a lot of truth in Scripture, there's a lot of things in Scripture that paints a picture of how we should live, how we should be. And I noticed there was always a gap between the reality of Scripture and the reality of my life. And if there is something different between the reality of my life and Scripture's, there's something has to change. And is the Word going to change? No. So who has to change? I do. So I began to go on this journey of how can I get my life and my relationship with the Lord to become more closer into the reality and truth of Scripture's. Which then brought me to a statement that God gave me, and then a question that I'm going to bring to you, and then an answer that's going to come from Scriptures. And that statement was, God has called us into the fullness of Christ. God has called us into the fullness of Christ. And fullness is a big word. Fullness is everything Christ. And I began to ask myself, am I truly living in the fullness of God? If I'm honest with myself, no. But am I closer? Yes. And that's a journey that I've been on in this week and this past month. And I began to understand that if we're not living in the fullness of God, it means that something is missing, which can lead to an identity crisis, which is the title of my sermon today. Because if we're not living in the fullness of Christ, something is missing. And I began to go on a journey. What is it? So if you want to turn to Colossians, it's going to be the main passage for today. But a crisis is when something is happening that we need to deal with and sort out because it's causing issues. And I really wanted to dive into the fact, how can we come into the fullness of Christ? It says in Colossians 1, starting from verse 9, if you have your Bibles with you, it says, for this reason, this is Paul writing to the church, since the day we have heard about you, we have not stopped praying. We have continually asked God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, according to the glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, giving thanks, joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people and in the kingdom of light. For he, Jesus Christ, has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of Son whom he loves, in Jesus whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. There's so much fullness in this scripture. With all the wisdom, all the knowledge, to live a life worthy, to please him in every way, every good work, all power, great endurance. There's so much big words being in there because it's all about the fullness of Christ. If you don't believe me that we're called to be in the fullness of Christ, I'll give you another scripture. It says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 to 10. So then, just as you receive Christ as Jesus Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy which depends on human traditions and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. And here it is, for in Christ all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you and me have been brought to fullness. He is a head over every power and authority. So it's pretty clear that we are called to live in the fullness of Christ. Now we need to understand what that looks like, and then we need to understand what our lives look like and understand how we could get there. And it's a big journey. And that's why it's so important to acknowledge where we have come from. A sinful place, a broken place, somewhere desperate, somewhere lonely, whatever it may be, whatever your history is, and where we have come to today, saved by grace, redeemed and started to be restored, and that's important to acknowledge, but also where we want to be in Christ. And that's the journey that we're on today. So the question is, are we living in the fullness of Christ? What is stopping us? Why do we struggle to live in the freedom? Why do we struggle to gain clarity and purpose? Why do we struggle to overcome certain issues and certain habits and certain sinful acts and habits that we do? Why do we struggle to live for the Lord wholeheartedly? We need to ask these questions to ourselves, understand where we're at, and then understand what we need to do. What is stopping us? And that's what he means when he says, be sober-minded. Be honest about yourself and where you're really at. Do not build yourself up to be someone that you're not. To be sober-minded, but that doesn't mean that you hate on yourself. It doesn't mean that you condemn yourself. It just means you be sober-minded in God's grace so that you can submit to everything that he wants to do for you. And that is a tension that we find ourselves in. And these conversations are important. And I also began to realize that this year, God has really asked me to bring language and words to certain things that we are going through. Because if we don't have that, we don't understand what we're going through, then we kind of struggle. We never really pinpoint what the issue is. So we continue to do the same thing over and over again. And then it's until someone speaks a word that it makes you click. Oh, that's what I've been struggling with. That's what I'm going through. And that provides clarity. That provides solutions. And that also lets you apply the Lord's wisdom into where you're at. So language is important and conversations are important to have. I don't understand how I can overcome this. Help me. And those conversations are important as a family to have. And I'm part of these conversations as well for myself to really help us grow into the fullness of Christ. And the first thing that I want to touch on is to live in the fullness of Christ means to live in peace. And we tend to think that peace is like the absence of conflict or the absence of war or you know, calmness, goodness, ease. But the word peace comes from the Hebrew word shalom. And again, the English translation of the word is such a basic translation to be take on what we think about the word peace. But I began to dig in deep about the word shalom. And in the Hebrew language, it's like a picture graph. So every letter has a picture, which has a meaning, which then paints the meaning of the word. So you can see on the top of that word shalom is a Hebrew word, and there's four pictures there. So the first one is teeth. The second one is a shepherd's staff. The third one is a tent peg. And the fourth one is water. That's shalom. Doesn't make sense, doesn't it? Well, what it actually translates to is it means to destroy the authority that binds to chaos. So to destroy is the teeth, the authority is the shepherd's staff, and the binding is the tent peg, and chaos is the water, which is basically active peacemaking in the face of trouble. It's a powerful word. And shalom comes from the root word shalem, which means whole, complete, restored, intact, nothing missing, nothing broken. Who wants that kind of peace? So what we need to understand is we need to step into the face of trouble and begin to bind the things that cause the chaos in our lives. And as a result, we stand on the truth to say, the Lord has given me this peace and power and authority to step into the fullness of Christ. And the truth is, some of us are getting thrown away from the chaos. I know I was. And it's a brutal place to be in. But when someone says shalom, because back in the Hebrew days, they would say shalom when you leave and shalom when you come in. What they're really saying is, may you be whole. May you be full. May your life be complete and well-ordered in every way, in your mind, body, soul, and relationship with God. All in one word, shalom. May you be whole. May you be full. And why? Because we have access to the fullness of God in our lives. So we are to be on a journey to grow in that wholeness, to grow in that fullness. And if we don't have this, what are we missing? And my hope today is that the Holy Spirit will provide some answers to you as a result of the story that we're going to go through. And I pray that the Holy Spirit's going to speak even richer and even deeper than my words on a page that's been given from God. Because the Holy Spirit knows exactly where we are at today in each and every individual, and also where we are at as a family. So my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will work in you as you open up your hearts. Because some of the effects of not having this peace or not having this fullness is, you know, having anxiety. Why? Because the anxiety comes from the root word that means to be pulled in different directions, which is chaos, chaotic. It means to be thinking about different things all the time, and you're being pulled in different directions and overwhelmed by the fear and the pressure. It means that you could be disintegrated, the opposite of integrity, to be whole and complete and understanding who you are. But you become disintegrated because you don't really know what you're standing on or where you're putting your hope in. So you can't be whole if you're disintegrated. You can also have immaturity because you're not learning the things of God. You're not really understanding what God is trying to speak to your life. You're not learning the lessons that you need to learn. So therefore, you continue to walk in immaturity. It could be a lack of knowledge. It could be a lack of purpose. It could be a shaky foundation. And as I say all these things, I relate to them all too well. Every single one. I've had cycles of anxiety. I've had cycles of immaturity. I've had cycles of being disintegrated, not sure who I am, where I'm meant to be. So I can relate to this too well. So the real question we have to ask ourselves is, what are we missing when we ask ourselves, why am I not in the fullness of God? And it's a sobering question, but I pray that grace will cover us today, and grace will empower us today to step into that or to start our journey towards that. Because that's where we want to be. So let's pray. Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you reside in this place? And would you move powerfully today, Lord? As we speak your word and your truth, I pray, Holy Spirit, you'll drop revelation and wisdom into our hearts. And you'll expose the things in our hearts that should not be there or that we need to deal with today and tomorrow in order to be led by you, Father. I pray that you'll journey with us, Holy Spirit. And you'll cover us with your grace and empower us to overcome these things through your strength, Lord. And that by faith we'll see fruit as we continue to learn what it means to live in your fullness. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church says, amen. So I wanted to share about the story of the Israelites because I felt like God was leading me to this journey of how they lived their lives and what they went through. And we can learn something from this today. Now, I'm not going to go through scripture when it comes to this story because it's 6 books of the Bible. Maybe I could take your technique and have everyone stay here and go through the 6 books of the Bible so that I can share the gospel and the truth and take them on a journey. But I'm going to share the stories. Does everyone know about the stories of the Israelites being set free from Egypt? Yep. Awesome. So what I'm going to do is give you the Prince James version that people are starting to get used to and just give you a paraphrase. But the Israelites were called to live in the fullness of God as his chosen people. They were called to him first, before anyone else. But the Israelites found themselves in slavery, in captivity, and under extreme leadership, burdened by the work that was put upon them. So they were not living in the fullness of God. They needed deliverance. They were crying out for help. We have the God of the Most High, yet we're here in the situation. Now, for some of you, you may be in situations, but you're not crying out. You just accepted it. This is how it is. This is my life. But God's not going to answer that call. So that's a word for someone today. The Israelites were not living in the fullness of God because of the situation that they were in. But God heard their cries. And he calls a man named Moses, who used to be in Egypt, and was actually a brother of the Israelites, was one of them. And he says, I've heard their cry, and I'm going to send you to set my people free. I'm going to send you to the Pharaoh, and you're going to say to him, the Lord has asked me to set my people free. So the very first thing we see in order to live in the fullness of God is deliverance. The word deliverance literally just means to rescue. to take them out of somewhere and to put us somewhere else. So they needed deliverance. And then Moses went up to the Pharaoh and said, let my people go. The Pharaoh was stubborn and hard-hearted, so he didn't do it. But then the Lord began to inflict plagues upon the land to the point that Pharaoh said, fine, go, take them and leave. But then as they went to the Red Sea, they began to realize the Egyptians changed their mind, chased after them to bring them back and destroy them. So Moses put his staff and rod in the Red Sea, split it, gave him a safe passage, one of the greatest miracles in the Bible. And not only that, as the Israelites passed through, the waters came crashing back down, destroying all the Egyptians that went after them. They were truly delivered. And then we find in Exodus, which is where the story comes from, that they start to worship God. They start to praise him for his rescue. So some of us here today need deliverance from a situation that we find ourselves in today to where we need to be. But the thing is, we have been delivered from the power and wrath of sin through Jesus Christ. As it says in Colossians, in chapter 1, which is read, it says, for he has rescued us from the dominion, the domination of darkness, and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. Now, deliverance is a big word that gets thrown around, but there is power in it, and we need to understand what it's for. So as we look at the Israelites, it was the first thing that they got, which was deliverance from the power of the Egyptians and into the wilderness with Jesus Christ, with God the Father. So we begin to understand that God rescued them. And some of us today need deliverance. And that's not a bad thing. It's important to acknowledge where we are. Some of us may need deliverance from oppression, from bondages. Some of us may need deliverance from situations that we're actually in, toxic relationships, environments that's causing harm. And that's some deep stuff that we need to work through. But we all need to have deliverance at some point in the start of our journey. I know, for example, I was caught up in a sinful nature, sinful habits. When it came to lust, when it came to sexual morality, all these things had a hold over my life in early 20s. But I needed God to overcome it. I could not. Until I was able to be delivered by the power of God and also by the community that I was in. So we need to acknowledge these conversations, acknowledge where we are, and cry out to God. Because it's like the elephant with the pig. There's a big animal that's getting held captive by the little pig in the ground, and you wonder how that happened. The way they do it is when it was a baby, they would chain them to a peg where it's not strong enough to move away from it. And it trains them in their mental state that they cannot overpower this little pig. So as it grows bigger and stronger, it becomes more capable, it still doesn't understand it has the authority to actually just go. So you do this big animal that's just held captive by this little pig. And as we see in Shalom, we have the authority to destroy what binds itself to chaos. So some of us are held captive by that pig, but to us it's such a big issue that we cannot run away from. But we need to understand that we have the authority and power through Jesus Christ himself to be set free. But we cannot do it by ourselves. We need God and we need each other. So the first thing that we need is deliverance. So if that's you today, I pray that at the end of this message, you're going to come to one of the leaders and just ask for prayer. To use the words out of your mouth and say what you're going through, because I believe that you just need three things in order to find freedom. The first thing is a safe place. You're in it with safe people. The second thing is good teaching, because you need to be taught the truth, for the truth will set you free, which is what I'm doing for you now. And the third thing you need is a move of God. So that will be up to you to step into that. And you see, the Israelites didn't just get delivered because they just heard about God. They had to follow him. They had to follow Moses into all the craziness that he was doing. They had to step in faith to see where he was leading them and through the Red Sea. And as a result, they got delivered. So he does take some work on your behalf. Sometimes this first 5 steps is all you need in order to get free. Sometimes you just need 5 seconds of courage to just share what's going on in your life, and then you can be set free. But an important part and an important key element of deliverance is often missed. What happened to the Israelites after they were delivered from Egypt? Did they go straight into the promised land? Why not? They complained. But the very first thing that God did was he began to disciple them. He says to Moses, I'm going to reveal myself to my people. Prepare their hearts, prepare them, and let them come to me, and I'm going to share that I am the Lord your God, and I'm going to share all these wonderful things that I'm going to do with them. So he began the journey of discipling them, which is my second point. We need to have seasons of discipleship in order to prepare our hearts, in order to prepare who we are. Because the thing is, deliverance is to get you out of Egypt. But discipleship is to get Egypt out of you. Deliverance is event-based. It's something that happens in your life, and discipleship is process-based. And too many of us go straight from deliverance and try to walk into the dream that God has given us. I know I did that. As soon as the day I finished Bible college, which I was studying, the day I finished, I said, Lord, I'm ready to be used for ministry. I'm ready to step into the promised land, not realizing that the next 10 years was going to be crucial discipleship. So I got hit with everything and I was not ready for it. And as a result, I began to feel like the Lord was against me. I was getting hit by everything. I was questioning everything. I was questioning what the Lord is doing with my life. I began to complain to the Lord. No one sees who I am, what I'm meant to do. I'm called to do this. But I began to miss out on crucial discipleship. In the same way that the Israelites complained, as soon as they got set free from slavery, they began to complain. What is Moses doing? What is God doing? I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. At least they fed us back there. At least we had homes. And they complained so much to the point that Moses was getting frustrated. God was getting frustrated, but through his grace, he began to try to lead these people and disciple them. So we need to understand that even though we have been delivered, we need to get rid of the residue of that impact. And too often we get caught in the trap of celebrating deliverance, but not talking about discipleship. We talk about all the great miracles, but not the process and the story that led to it. Like the woman bleeding for 12 years. We celebrate the miracle, but I want to know what happened in that 12 years. How does she conduct herself? How does she deal with it? And then I want to know what happened after the miracle to see what she did before impacted her afterwards. We need to become more focused on the discipleship process. Otherwise, we begin to lose out on the opportunity that's given us. And then what happens? We just go in the cycle. And we are called to live in different seasons, not repeated cycles. And anything we don't overcome, you are doomed to repeat in cycles. And I found myself with my issues dealing with lust. I was like, yep, I'm all good. Actually, no, I'm not. I just kept going in different cycles. But what I didn't realize, I had to be discipled out of the residue. And what was that? Insecurity. Dealing with my emotions. Learning how to have the maturity to deal with those things. And it was literally on repeat. So even though I was delivered, I needed to be discipled. But I needed to enter the process in partnership with God and with the church family to deal with these things. And it's messy, it's ugly, but by God, the fruit is beautiful when you deal with it. So I want this to be the messiest and most fruitful church there is. I want us to be in the habit of trusting people that we could trust and just sharing what we're really going through. Now, I'm not saying that we just have to spill in every conversation about, no, there's a time and a place for everything. But if we could be more discerning and wise in that, and say, okay, I need to have a conversation with this person and just share what's going on point blank so that we could deal with it, so that later on we could have a different season walking in fruitfulness and fun and faithfulness. As someone said to me, James, when I was single, he said, you need to embrace every season for what it is. Do not try to live a married life while you're dating. Do not try to live a dating life while you're single, all those things, because things get mixed up. Treat every season for what it is and get out of it what you need to so that you can walk in every season for its purpose. There is a time and a place for everything. And what I love what Annette says, the character has to match your calling. And that is an important part of discipleship. And the reason why the character has to match your calling is because the anointing always comes before the appointment. God told the Israelites specifically, I'm going to take you to the promised land. So they had the answer, they knew where they were going. But there was a lot of stuff that they had to deal with in order to get into there. A blessing received too soon is a curse. I remember because I finished Bible college, I had a singular vision. I knew what I was going to do, or I thought I knew. I was like, I'm ready to preach. I'm ready to do all this. And then someone said to me, James, a blessing received too soon is a curse. I want to make sure you're set up so that when you are stepping into it, you've got everything you need. Now, I didn't tell him what I was going through. I didn't tell him all the issues that I had because obviously I was trying to keep it a secret. But he was so true. And what that allowed me is to go through a process of 15 years of shaping, of being crafted, of being molded through all the different seasons. And it's 15 years because I struggled to understand what he was doing and I kept pushing it off. So it could have been done in 1 year. But because of the stubbornness of my heart and my nature, and because I didn't understand the language that was being put into what I was doing, it took longer. In the same way the Israelites kept going through cycle after cycle of the same thing. Moses went up to the mountain, they're like, let's create an idol, created a golden calf. But they were trying to understand who the Lord is over their lives. And they were trying to deal with the anointing that was coming upon them. We're chosen, we're his royal priesthood. But they needed to understand the responsibility of that, which is why they needed to go through years and years and years of discipleship. So we may be set free, but we always need to be on guard. So while I have been set free from the things that held me captive, I still need to be on guard. Deliverance is not a once-off thing where I go, bang, I'm saved, set free. For the rest of my life, it's not going to impact me. If anything, you need to watch out because it is the reason that you got in there in the first place. So I always have to be on guard. Now, does that mean if I do fall short in a moment that I go back to where I was? No. Which is why it's important to acknowledge where we came from, where we are today, and where we're heading to. But it is important to acknowledge that I have truly been set free. And to be honest with yourself, have I truly been set free? So there is a season of deliverance. There is a season of discipleship. And the difference is we cannot let sin reign over our lives. Reign means to be above you, to have power over you. If sin reigns over you, therefore God doesn't reign over you. He reigns above everything, but he doesn't reign over you because sin is reigning over you. So the question we have to ask ourselves, if it's sin that's holding us captive, that we need deliverance, but sometimes it's not deliverance that we need, sometimes it's discipleship. And that is a question that you need to ask the Holy Spirit. So I thought I was held captive by my desires of the flesh, but it was actually discipleship because there were things that were impacting that desire. My emotional maturity, my understanding of God, my understanding of myself. So we need to embrace the story of the Israelites to understand that the season they were in are the exact same seasons that we are in. And I remember I was speaking to a person that's in deliverance ministry because I wanted to go on this journey of like, what is it that I need to bring clarity? And he gave me a paper with all these questions so he could understand who I am And I literally had to write all the bad things that I've done. In half an hour, I've never had that practice. Next question. And I was able to actually laugh because I'm like, man, I've lived a shocking life. But at the same time, I know I've been set free. And what he wanted to do is put it all on paper so he understands what's been impacting my life, the decisions that I've made in the past, and also where I find myself today. And we began to engage in prayer to release all these things off me, to break through all these things that have held me captive and set me on the path that God has called me to do. And what I found was that was actually a very liberating act because it was releasing shame, condemnation, or any power that may be left over me. Because back then I'd be like, if everyone knows, I wonder what they'll think of me. But now I have the freedom to say anything because I understand that I've been set free and as a result, I'm on the journey on the right path. And I want that for each and every single one of you today. To be set free from the power of shame and condemnation, but to step into the freedom and then to be able to go home and sleep at night because you know that you're covered by His grace. And it's not up to me, it's not up to the person next to you, it's not up to your spouse or your parent, because at the end of the day, it's just you before you close your eyes. Just you and yourself and God. And my heart today is for you to start sleeping with a good conscience, knowing that you are saved and that you are empowered for whatever God has called you. And that if there is any residue or anything that is holding over your head, I pray that we'll deal with it today so that you can go to sleep tonight knowing that you are protected by God's grace and able to deal with anything that comes your way because God is the one that reigns over your life. And the thing is, the enemy robs your voice. The enemy, the first thing he takes is your voice. Do not speak out. He tries to take away your prayer life because you think that you're dirty, you can't come to God. Well, the thing is, some of us have mud and we need to come home to get washed. Sometimes he takes away our worship and our praise because who are we to praise God and worship Him if we're living like this? Some of us cannot confess to one another because we're afraid of how that person will respond, that will be judged. So the first thing he takes is our voice. And if he can keep the church quiet, he's winning the battle. So some of us simply just need to speak out and confess. Because it says that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful. We have people in this place that have overcome all these things, that have overcome certain areas of your life that you may be struggling with today. And it is those people that you want to speak to so they can speak power and authority over you and stand with you because they understand what you're going through. So we need to speak out and confess. And then we need to commit to worshiping the Lord, to praying to Him, and to praising Him. Because those things will defeat the things that are going on in here. Let us not be burdened by the things of this world. Let us not be burdened by the things that the enemy has over us. And at the same time, some of us need to put our dreams at the altar, lay them down so that we can walk in our destiny. And that's what the Israelites had to do. Whatever they wanted was no longer a thing. They were the Lord's chosen people. They were a group of people that were called to be the Lord's. So they had to sacrifice everything, put it at the altar, say, I trust in you, and they walk in the destiny. Sad news is some of them didn't make it to the promised land. From memory, I think it's only 2 tribes out of 12 that made it. All because right at the very end, they send out scouts to see the promised land and they started to get scared. They started to be fearful. And they said, they're like giants, we can't go in there. But there were 2 people that said we can. And it was those 2 tribes that ended up leading the Israelites into the promised land. Some of us need to know what the promise, sorry, some of you know what your promised land is and some of you need to step into that. Some of you are scared. I'm sure that Joan, when she was thinking about India, it's like, nah, it's too much. This problem is too big for me. I can't do this. But you stepped into it at some point. And now you're in your destiny. Maybe you had some dreams outside of that, but you walk in your destiny. And I'm sure you also had years and years and years of discipleship leading up to that. Because I want you to understand that we all go through the same seasons. Deliverance, discipleship, and then walk in our destiny. And some of us need to step into that. Step into it knowing that God is with you and discipling you. Because the thing is, it's crunch time now. What has God called you to step into? And you know, there's so many examples in the Bible. It's amazing when you look it through the specific lens, you begin to see so much of it. There were so many people that went through this ESAC model of deliverance, discipleship, and destiny. You've got Saul, who became Paul. He was delivered from the mindset of a Jewish believing concept that Christians were evil and he needed to be destroyed. And he was delivered from that, but then he was discipled into being an apostle. And they're walking in that hope, walking in that destiny. You've got Peter, who was the same, called to be a fisherman of men, then had to get discipled, and then walked into the destiny. You've got the demon-possessed man who had to be delivered from demonic oppression and influence. And then Jesus says, go back to your home and tell them what I've done. And there he was sitting in a household, learning about the word, being discipled. And then he walked in his destiny. You've got Mary Magdalene. You've got Ruth. You've got Timothy. You've got the woman at the well. Jesus brought deliverance, and then they were discipled in the truth, and then as a result, released into their destiny. Now, let me tell you, destiny and discipleship overlap strongly because you continue to get discipled as you grow, and you continue to walk in destiny. You need both of them. And also, God may get you out of that bad place, but getting that bad place out of your heart takes time and intentional growth. Because I began to look at the books of the Bible. Deliverance was only two chapters. Literally, just two chapters. Discipleship was 3.5 books. Numbers, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, and half of Exodus. And then destiny is one book plus the rest of the future to come. Because we are the fruit of the destiny they walked in. So some of you need deliverance. Some of you need to commit to the Lord's discipleship. And some of you need to revive your destiny and walk into it. All in all, we need the Lord in order to walk in the fullness of Christ. So I ask you today, what is it that you need? What is it that I need in order to step into the fullness of God? And this is a sobering but powerful question to ask ourselves because we have access. Because it says in Colossians, the verse that we just read, and hopefully this verse will be sounding so much more beautiful to you after what you just heard. It says, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives so that you may live a life worthy of God and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened in all power according to his glorious might, so you may have great endurance and patience, giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. That's all discipleship. And that's all walking in your destiny. Why? For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. This is where we find ourselves today. And I truly believe that we are called to live in the light as a church and that darkness has no place in it. But darkness will have a place as long as we keep quiet. So I truly believe that until you begin to speak out about things, we won't get healed from it. And as a church, we need to be speaking about these things so that people can get healed from it. It wasn't until someone on platform said that he had been set free from sexual immorality, prostitution, all those things, that I realized that he had the power to do it, then therefore I can. It wasn't until that conversation was opened up that I was able to walk free. I talked about pornography maybe 2 years ago, and I still hear to this day people coming up to me saying, when you mentioned that, it actually set me free. Because we opened up a conversation. So imagine if we start opening up conversations about insecurities. If we start opening up conversations about idol worshiping, about family background, about health issues that we're going through, about oppression, demonic oppression that we're feeling and sensing, about chains and bondages, whatever it may be. Imagine we start opening up those conversations. How much will the church be healed? Why? Because grace covers and grace empowers and grace builds. As long as we keep quiet, we're never going to deal with it. And I believe that's an important part of the journey that we're on. So the worship team come up. I'd love for us to stand up. Because I believe it's going to be an important moment for some of us. And I understand that it can be daunting. I can understand it can be scary. But it'll be so fruitful that once we step into the light, we begin to understand the power of God. I want to read 1 John 1 that God led me to this morning. It says, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with God, yet walk in the darkness, we lie to ourselves and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. And if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all righteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does, we have an advocate with our Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only ours, but for the sins of the whole wide world. So we are called to step into the light. And the question is, are we living in the fullness of Christ? If not, then we have an identity crisis that we need to deal with now. This is a safe place. And what I want to do is later on, the worship team is going to praise and worship. They're going to cover this room with a sound to protect you and cover you. So that when you come up, if you need deliverance, need to confess, whatever it may be, to a trusted leader, it will just be you and that person. And I pray that you'll feel safe as you walk in the truth. As the worship team covers us with a song of grace, with a song of power, and a song of praise, I pray that you'll find the courage, 5 seconds of courage, to step out. And I'm also going to say you can ask for prayer for discipleship or to walk in your destiny so that when you do come out, it could be any of those three things that no one else is going to know. Because this is about you being safe and you stepping out in faith to confess to one another and to enter that journey of discipleship in realignment with Christ. Because every single one of us here are anointed for something. Every single one of us are anointed for something. And I read a statement that said, if we lie to ourselves, we actually harm our identity and our calling. So it's time to step into the truth. And once you step into it, we realize how freeing it is. And I can speak for myself. There's so much freedom in that. And there are other people stepping into that freedom because they understand that I'm free in that as well. And there is no shame or condemnation that while we may have to deal with some consequence, it's nothing compared to the freedom we have in Christ.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.